Welcome back, everybody, to the News Radio, and we are here with GameStar Profits. I myself am Jeff Romo, and I'm joined by my compatriot,
Daniel Fisher.
Well, there, hello there, Daniel. It looks like we've got some assaults of adorable cuteness over in the Perna household as we have to deal with the invasion of the baby.
Oh, babies, all the pee, all the poop, all the vomit. Oh, my.
And such assaults of cuteness cannot be underwhelmed. Is that not true?
Oh, the tickles, the giggles. Oh, the babies are so cuddable.
True, the horror is real. But in the meantime, we must search through the annals of history to find a podcaster of the ages. Someone that can come and step forth to bring sanity, wisdom, and perhaps some dignity to GameStar Profits. I bring to you none other than T.R. Knight.
What? Get off my lawn.
Hey, everybody.
TR, we have some insure for you in the fridge there, buddy.
Thank you.
Oh, snap. Oh, snap.
Just because I'm wiser than everyone else here, let's just not go that direction.
I wasn't saying wise, per se, but, you know, we'll call it wise.
So, all right, everybody. It's GameStar Profits, episode 169. There's some weirdness going on here, as you can probably tell. You know, again, I'm Jeff Romo. I'm joined by Daniel Fisher and the esteemable T.R. Knight of Cyclopedia fame, of all sorts of, what do we want to call him? He's a luminary, really, if we wanted to be honest.
Are you saying I glow in the dark?
No, I think he's saying you're a board game.
That's true. We do roll dice upon you. Interesting. We'll have to deal with that theory later. But for now, we want to put T.R. Knight in the hot seat. We want to hit him with some rapid-fire questions. T.R. Knight, are you prepared?
I believe I am, sir.
T.R. Knight, what is your favorite color?
Blue. No, yellow.
What's your deepest and darkest gaming secret?
My deepest and darkest gaming secret?
Yes.
That I've actually met you and Mike Perna in person.
That's not a secret.
Wait, people know that?
It's kind of dark, though.
I was trying to keep that away from people. I didn't want people to know that.
Oh, my.
Tell me, who is your favorite band member from Rush?
Ooh, Geddy.
Geddy, good answer. Daniel?
Who's Geddy?
Okay, now I do feel wise.
A.K.A. old.
That's not good.
I'm just kidding, guys. I do know who Rush is. I don't know the name of the every member of the band. I just know that the drummer was like the best drummer in the world.
Okay, I got six. I had 6 seconds that I could actually sing that song, and I could stop it now. So that's free, for nothing. All right, next one. Favorite dice manufacturer.
Chessex.
Favorite die type.
Favorite die type. Ooh, yeah. For me, D6.
Pathfinder, dwarf or elf.
Hate Pathfinder.
Oh.
But dwarf or elf, you still have to answer that question.
Okay, that one, dwarf.
Okay.
All right. Perna will appreciate that. That's for sure.
Always love dwarves. Hobbit's my favorite of the books because of the dwarves.
So what is your favorite color that you like to paint miniatures in?
I'm just learning, so primer.
The best way to get it on there quickest, right?
Any more questions?
I'll throw out a question here.
You bet.
And this is going to be more a little bit along the lines of our topic. 2018 is upon us, but now is a time to look forward to things and to find out, you know, maybe not so much resolutions, but maybe a few things that we're looking forward to in the year. So maybe a couple game things, maybe something personal. What do you guys think? You want to talk about that?
No.
Maybe that'll work? No. Daniel's out.
Nah, man. I'm kidding, guys.
This is going to be a tough episode. I can tell. So, you know, Daniel, come on. You know, what's something that, you know, let's name one thing. Maybe game related.
Gary Con. I'm super stoked. And Gen Con.
Well, let's stick with Gary Con. What's something, I know we've talked about it in a prior episode that I actually showed up for. What's something specific you're looking for at Gary Con?
Well, I get to hang out with Daniel Fisher. That's always a plus.
Wait, are we talking about your clone?
No, we're talking about the Daniel Fisher from Hammered Game Tables.
Okay.
He's in the tavern, and he makes game tables. I get to hang out with a bunch of cool people and play board games, which is always great. I get to teach a painting class, which is super and spectacular. And I get to hang out with the Gygaxes and all those people.
So luminaries, people who glow in the dark.
Yeah, and board games.
Someday I hope to make Gary Con. It's actually a dream of mine as well. So,
Well, now that you spoke up, TR, what's something you're looking forward to in 2018?
Okay, well, so game related. Well, it's one I've been reading up on, and I'm so tempted to kind of push that purchase button, but we'll just go with the wisdom aspect that is me. I'm kind of being nostalgic. I'm really looking forward to the 30th anniversary release of Star Trek, the role-playing game. Fantasy Flight is re-releasing the original 1987 Star Trek, Star Wars. I'm tired. It's late at night.
I was about to say, they already released a Star Trek game.
You know what? I got all flustered by Daniel calling me old.
What are you doing to our show?
I don't know.
Seriously. Kicking in.
No, it's all the nerves and everything. You know, this is my first time on here, you'd think. I don't know.
Maybe you're doing great.
I'm doing okay.
You should go back and listen to my first time. I was umming and stuttering and all that other stuff. So
we had to edit it out. I mean, he threw up on Mike. It was crazy.
It's so nerve-wracking to follow in the wonderful footsteps of Mike Perna, though. See, this is my hard thing. I'm following the lord of this podcast, you know, the great leader. The perpetual one, the one who has, you know, a new child. He's created life. And I had to follow that. So I'm just a little nervous.
Hey, you created life too. It's cool.
Yeah. So back to what I was talking about. The 30th anniversary of Star Wars.
There we go.
But I don't know if you've looked at it. It looks gorgeous. It's going to come in a sleeve box. It's all been reprinted on glossy paper. It's the original D6 version of the role-playing game. I played that. It's one of the role-playing games I took off on. Even though they've got their new Edge of the Empire, the new version of their Star Wars role-playing game is Fantasy Flight, they're willing to go back and do the original and bring it all up to speed with today's printing quality. That's exciting. I have a lot of the old books still, and that'll be a reason to kind of go back and revisit and run a campaign in that version of Star Wars again.
So we're talking the D6 version, right?
Yes.
This is what we're talking about, just to make sure it's kind of quantified. I mean, this is what I started. It was one of my first games. I think it was probably like I started with Rifts. We played AD&D 2E. And then I think, Star Wars D6 was like the third game that I played when I was a kid.
Am I the only person that didn't play this game?
I've played all versions of the Star Wars game so far. D6, I've did the D20 when 3.5 was real hot. Which I like the quality of those books, but yeah, the rules got a little crunchy.
This is the original West End Games version being re-released.
So that'll be the touchstone for people.
I was second edition, and then I played Senior Shadowrun, and then went from there. I went to Vampire the Masquerade.
Gothy.
Yeah.
Okay, so Daniel, we're going to do this. When were you born?
1978.
Yes. There were role-playing games out before you were born.
I know that. And they're sitting on my shelf.
That's true. He is a classic purist. He is.
You've helped me create a collection of first edition Dungeons & Dragons materials. And I'm
of our group, Daniel is the hipster of role-playing game people. I mean, that's flat out.
You know, I only use Game Science dice because, you know, they're made in America. You know, they're locally sourced.
Locally sourced. Wow. They pulled marble right out of my yard and they curved it up into dice. And now I use it, you bunch
of... Hold on, let me get a bite of my avocado toast.
Avocado toast.
Oh my. Where's your bow tie?
That's going to be the name of this episode, Locally Sourced Dice.
Locally Sourced Podcast.
There you go, Locally Sourced Podcast. Write it down.
But yeah, so if you like the old role-playing games, if you enjoy the old system, even if you don't want to play it, I think a lot of people are going to end up buying this just for a collector's edition. It's a very nostalgic game to have. But if you like that system, like you, that was a big science fiction game for me. I didn't get into Traveler. I didn't get some, you know, I did play like Star Frontiers and some of those. But Star Wars as a role-playing game expanded me into the science fiction world. So I have this feel of I want to go back to it. And so when they announced they were releasing that at Gen Con, they announced that that's where they made the announcement. I've been following it since. And I haven't yet hit the pre-order button yet, but I'm really edgy about it.
I think what's kind of cool is that it's a tried and true thing.
Yeah.
You know, you've known it. You've played the game before. So it's something that's going to tickle your nostalgia for sure. You know, that nerve is going to get fired off there.
So what about you?
Well, actually, it's an interesting segue because Fantasy Flight Games, it's not quite, it was released last year, but it's new to me and it's something that I'm actually looking to potentially get into is the Genesis core rulebook.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Fantasy Flight Games. It's built off of the same kind of narrative dice system that they have developed for the latest version of Star Wars, which I understand Mr. T.R. Knight has been involved with.
Yes, with the
Genesis game.
A lot of people don't realize that, listening to this podcast, that almost any new thing that comes out, T.R. has touched it in some form or fashion, whether it be working on the rule book, you know, indexes, or just walking by it in the booth and just rubbing his hands on it.
Chances are the book you have in your hands, T.R. Knight, has touched in a familiar way.
I leave fingerprints everywhere.
Because he eats peanut butter and jelly sandwiches all the time. They're all sticky.
Pages 12 and 17 are always stuck together. I don't know why. But anyway. But yeah, I really enjoy the narrative dice in Star Wars. And I think we've talked about it way back when I was still recording on the show. That it's a lot of fun because it does that thing where it lets the fiction lead. And then you throw in the narrative dice to kind of add in that little bit of variation.
The whole narrative dice thing, I just want to comment on it for a minute. Because I don't know, I've been looking at Genesis for a little bit. I haven't really been following it hardcore. But I kind of already do that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the games that are coming out now are kind of, they have in the rules at least, are kind of fiction first.
Right, and so like, as I've done in the past, I keep story time dice around just so I can make up stories as I'm going along if I need a side adventure or things like that, or of course random generators and random tables. It's just, but I know they do have custom dice in that box set, so it looks kind of cool. I'm not saying anything bad about it.
Well, and the neat thing too is that with this, and actually I'm going to make a side comment on those narrative dice that you just mentioned. You actually got me into those Rory Stories.
Hey man, I've got some better ones now. Storytime dice. Oh my! Using those, roll up an NPC, man, in 5 seconds. Boom. You've got an NPC right there.
To me, the Genesis, and this is what's interesting, having been role playing a long time, I remember like TSR, you had Dungeons and Dragons early on, and they spawn off things like Star Frontiers and other things, so you knew the system. You've got so many people who have gotten into role-playing recently, and quite a few of them got pulled in by the new Star Wars games because the movies have been out. What Genesis lets them do is make that transition from only playing Star Wars to now playing fantasy or steampunk or modern. And that's what was nice about, you know, we had GURPS at one point. We have Savage Worlds. Yeah, And those are generic systems, but what's nice about this, they took a in-game system and turned it to generic to give people that transition kind of capability. And I think that's a big deal in the role-playing hobby, because so many people are edgy when they first get into the hobby, and then they don't know how to make that transition to something else. And having a system that does multiple genres helps that.
And the nice thing about this is that, especially like to your point, people who are new with RPGs, I think games like Fantasy Flight Star Wars is good in a sense that it gets you in the practice of freeing up your imagination, right? You're trying to learn rules, and obviously there are some. The book is, 300-400 pages long, you know, right? But you're going to learn the rules as you explore the fiction, and then you start implementing those rules as you go. And I think it's a really nice way to kind of get people into the mode of thinking when it comes to RPGs. And with the Genesis system, what's kind of cool is that, like you said, it's got that fantasy thing. So if you wanted to use these narrative dice but create the fantasy world, you can do that. You want to do steampunk, weird war, which is kind of like your Cthulhu type thing, or secret societies type thing, weird historical fiction stuff, modern day science fiction, all that stuff. It's a fantastic option. It's GURPS rolled up in one big book and using a simplified rule system. And I like Savage Worlds.
Which
is
all rolled up into one little book.
Yeah.
And it's $10. Oh, yep. Sorry. You know how I am about Savage Worlds. On the note of cool things that came out in 2018, Savage Worlds, you know, we had the Kickstarter last month or in November for the Flash Gordon. The PDFs were released today on DriveThruRPG. I had to buy it piecemeal. And so I'm sitting here thinking, I get paydays this week, and you know, I get my allowance, my mad money for my budget. So I'm thinking about it. Not sure yet.
Well, the other thing about Genesis, just before I leave that topic, working on it, what's fascinating too is they took all their major board games that they have out and did a little section in the book on how you could use Genesis in that world.
Really?
So they have a Tannhauser section. They've got a Twilight section. I mean, they've got all their main games they've picked. So that's their version of steampunk, weird war, science fiction. And that's another way to get people into the role-playing hobby. If they already like the board game and the world behind the board game, you can bring Genesis and say, hey, let's play a game in the world of the board game.
That's cool. That is pretty cool.
And chances are you're going to find somebody who has a fandom somewhere that likes a certain thing. And it's like, would you like to play a game in that place? You know, that's, yeah, that's perfect. That's a very good point.
Yeah, now you're getting me to want to buy it. Oh, man. You know, I'm on Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University for a reason, guys. And this is the reason.
Mr. Ramsey, do you have a hotline number? All right, well, talk to me about number two. What's the second thing that you're looking for? Another game thing, maybe, or, you know, whatever. We'll get to the personal stuff in a second, but what do you guys think? What's the second thing you're looking forward to?
Well, I'll jump in. So number two for me is I'm getting ready to get back into storytelling. I've not done it in a while. I've taken a bit of a break, and we're going to stay on my nostalgic bend. I'm going to go back into the 90s, and I'm going to run Spelljammer. I've decided to pull out an old campaign, which, amazingly, I never ran when it was out. It was there. I just happened to get into this urge. I picked up one of the books, and that shouldn't have happened. Because once you pick one up, you're like, well, that was kind of interesting. I'll just pick the next box set up. And then that led to me buying a bunch at Gen Con this year. And then that led to me making a giant trade with a company online to get most of the rest of the collection. And then slowly buying the novels. I've gone down a very deep rabbit hole.
Fairly expensive as well, and because wasn't a lot of that stuff destroyed in a flood a while back?
Actually, yes. I don't know the history completely. Some of the stuff I've read said yes, an area was damaged that made this stuff rarer. I got lucky. I found some used bookstores that had it at good prices. The trade I made, I had some stuff worth a little bit, made a trade. But for me, I've been playing D&D forever. I've been running 5e for a little bit, and I just had this urge to do something different. And so did my players. We've played a couple traditional dungeon crawls, and we thought, let's be different. I thought about doing a pirate adventure. I've done that. Thought about being swashbuckling. But this is where we get into stuff. I got the entire Flash Gordon comic set as a book set. So I read all the Flash Gordons. I'd watched a couple other things, and that urge was just there. And I saw Spelljammer on my shelf, and I talked to my players. And I said, what do you think? Do we try Spelljammer in 5e? And they looked at me like, are you really asking that question? Do you need an answer to that question? So they jumped right on. They liked it. So I've been in the background getting ready for it. I'm doing a conversion to 5e. So tons of research online that people have already done the conversions, doing some of my own conversions. And I'm a prop maker. When I really get into a campaign, I start making props. So I'm making maps and nautical charts and way too much stuff.
So let me stop you there. I'm going to stop you there. Pump the brakes here. For some of our listeners, okay, who are in complete and total BioShock right now because we're not introducing board games right now. We've been doing it right now. Perna probably hasn't even heard the episode, and as we're recording right now, he's got like this, like he's having a seizure. You know, like, you know, something's going on. Somewhere, Aperna's heart is breaking. But before we acknowledge that,
okay,
what is Spelljammer? For our erstwhile listeners,
Spelljammer is, let's see, if you know anything about the current Starfinder. So you have Pathfinder, who's out now. Starfinder just came out. It's the idea of fantasy in space. Well before Starfinder ever existed was Spelljammer. Spelljammer is the idea of play AD&D in space. So there are beholders out there on spaceships that fly around in what's called the phlogiston, which is like this weird multicolored space between spheres. The spheres are solar systems. So you have Kryn space, which is everything that is Dragonlance. You have Gray space, which is everything that is Greyhawk. Realm space, that's Forgotten Realms. And you can add your own spheres. If you're like me and you dig way too deep and go down rabbit holes, you find out that they followed things like Ptolemy and Kepler, and they went through all this weird science about the idea of the ether and everything. So the gist of it is you're elves and dwarves and orcs and beholders and mind flayers in spaceships.
Oh, man, I gotta play this. Are you gonna do this online?
Not at first, but I may at some point do a one-shot online for other people. So I'm excited. Yes, I know both of mine were role-playing. I'm also a board gamer, but that's my two big game things for the year that really have me psyched up.
I think that might be a trend, but let's see. I don't know. Mr. Fisher, do you have a second item?
I've not got anything on the horizon for 2018 as far as purchases go. I am locked into not buying new games until I play at least everything once. So that's going to take a while. But another thing that I have looking forward to in 2018 is Gen Con. And as I was mentioning beforehand, it's when I get to hang out with my buddy TR.
Aww. Yeah. Jelly. Jelly.
So excited. I can't wait. Board games every night. Cookies. Baked goods.
What? You're expecting me to bake goods again?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. My daughter should be coming again. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
Very cool. Very cool.
So what about you, Mr. Jeff?
Well, we kind of danced around it a little bit with Flash Gordon. John Carter from Mars, or of Mars, I should say. There is a Modiphius Entertainment game that is going to be coming out based on John Carter and Mars, you know, shtick, thing, awesomeness. Yeah. The dying world of Barsoom needs your help, brave adventuress. And only you, as a heroic member of the John Carter tribe, will be able to save it. I can't. I'm looking forward to it. It's actually a system I'm not very familiar with, which is it's powered by the 2D20 system. So who has some information about that? What does that system mean to you?
Well, 2D20 is Modiphius's in-house system. So Conan uses it. Star Trek uses it. Mutant Chronicles uses it. All their games that are not licensed, like Octon Cthulhu is based on Savage Worlds and Call of Cthulhu. The other games that they're
Savage Worlds!
Yeah. The stuff they're doing on their own is the 2D20. And it's a very cinematic system, and each one is slightly different. So, like, the one in Mutant Chronicles is much grittier than the one that's in Star Trek, and then the one that's in Barsoom and John Carter is way more cinematic and over the top.
And it's just the world that the Edgar Rice Burroughs thing. I mean, it's right into that little itch that needs to be scratched within me that I haven't been able to like really jump into it. I was 50s, 60s version of outer space and the idea that we discover Martians and that sort of thing. So it's right up that alley that I've really looked forward to. But the idea that it's tied directly to John Carter of Mars is really, I mean, I like that source material so much. I even appreciated the movie.
I did too, actually. And I've read all the books.
Wait a minute. Which version of the movie?
Both.
Even the one with that one lady in it?
The new one?
No, the old one.
Oh, you mean the one? Oh, no, never mind. No, I get what you're saying. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Okay. I've read the John Carter books. Mm. Wasn't too big of a fan of them.
Yeah.
I just don't know what it was. I mean, I liked Mars. I really do. One of my favorite book series is the Mars series by Ben Bova.
Well, I'm sure Mars will appreciate that.
Yeah, and Mars is like my favorite planet, you know.
Deuces to Mars.
But I never really did like John Carter.
See, I'm into I love classic science fiction, and that's one of those. I love its historical aspect, how it bounces between Civil War and bounces to Mars. But Daniel, if you get a chance, you have to look at the Kickstarter and look at the miniatures.
Okay. Wait, you said miniatures. It's, so now
I I'm just gonna, want the Woola miniature.
Isn't it awesome?
I want Woola.
Yeah, that's one like thing I was. The new miniature game for Harry Potter is coming out, I think, this year, too.
Yep.
Get out of here with your Harry
Dude,
Potter.
Dude, have
stuff.
You seen those miniatures?
They are gorgeous.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's nice.
Okay, and I'm going to throw out
it's handcrafted excellence, yes.
And I'm going to throw an honorable mention out here that'll make Mike happy because I just want to throw this out here. It wasn't one of my three originally, but I just read about it today because it's a Kickstarter. If you get a chance, look up Western Legends. It's a sandbox cowboy board game. So you get to play some of the famous people of the West and you get to do things like be a bandit or do cattle or rob banks or be a sheriff or be a bounty hunter. It's a total sandbox. It's open. You play Wild Bill, Calamity Jane. It's got beautiful cards, beautiful artwork, and it's on Kickstarter. That was not in my top three, but the more I read about it, you're like, ooh. But like Daniel, it's like budget's limited, but wow, that is probably the best looking Wild West board game I've ever seen.
That's saying a lot. I don't know a lot of Wild West games. I mean, I'm familiar with Doomtown.
Doomtown's good. Spurs is good. I have an old classic game called Cowboys Way of the Gun. It's an older chit-based game, so it uses a little cardboard stuff. But I've never...
Watch your mouth.
Yeah, watch my mouth. I've never found a game that really felt like you're in the Wild West.
You know,
and this game looks close.
What about the Weird West? I could play some Deadlands with you all day long.
That's a role-playing game, not a board game.
And we're back to role-playing games.
Okay, it's because you got me stuck on John Carter now because of these miniatures.
You saw them, right?
Yeah, they're nice.
That's nice. Yeah. You get miniatures with the role-playing game, and you get the things
I just
you
want
love Wula. With the things you want to learn about.
Wula is my favorite character in the books. For those of you who don't know, and you get a chance, so John Carter is a book series by Edgar Rice Burroughs, same person who did Tarzan. Great book series. John Carter is a fascinating character, but one of the characters of the best is Wula. Wula is his pet. That's all I'm going to say. Go read the books. Wula is great.
With the bomb. so good. So good. See, now I want to go back. I mean, I was looking at it this week, and then I forgot. Was it UTR that posted the Kickstarter on Twitter? I was trying to remember who did it. Who did this to me made me think of it again. I saw it again, and I was just like, oh, my gosh. Now I want to reread the whole thing. And
my hard thing is I've put feelers out. I'm trying to see if I can get on the project. I'm not. Right now, Daniel made earlier that I'm on a lot of projects. I do work for Modiphius. I've done a lot of editing and proofreading for Modiphius. I'm not currently on the John Carter project. I'm trying to remedy that.
That's
please.
You got time?
Ask them if they need anybody to paint anything. Because after that Fallout fiasco last year, I was very upset with that.
It happens.
Yeah, yep. The Fallout miniatures weren't painted at Gen Con.
It's because they had just arrived.
It was just then. I mean, are you going to paint it on the way back from the supplier? You know, they're driving and they're painting in the car. I mean, it could have been an even bigger disaster.
They were right next to Games Workshop. There was paint there to be had.
Oh, a collaboration, you say?
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, it's something you can do at GaryCon, right?
Yeah.
You can bring together things.
That's it. I'm just bringing paint to Gen Con. If those things aren't painted, I will paint them for you all.
And yet again, another year of amazing games coming. That's all I have to say. We're in quite the golden age of gaming.
And you know what? I think it's kind of cool. Like even like right now, there was a few weeks ago, I was looking to maybe sell some of my old comic books. And I realized that my comic books, which I loved and the storylines are fantastic, were birthed within the age of the bevy of comics, when comics became like super popular in the late 80s, early 90s. And so, you know, there was like 15 versions of a regular average episode of or issue of X-Men, you know, or something like that. So it was just an onslaught in the market. It was just flooded. And so my comics that, you know, under normal circumstances would be worth a lot are only worth maybe $3, $5, $10 a piece. Yeah, because there were so many in the market, but at the same time, it was during a time when comics were just everywhere, and you could read them, and it was just fantastic. And now we're in this with the RPGs, which is great.
We're with us with the board games, too. I was reading a stat yesterday that it's estimated that over 3,500 board games were released last year.
Yeah, and the I can't remember the number, but the largest percentage of projects on the Kickstarters were board games.
And how many of those had pieces not painted by Daniel Fisher?
I know. Well, you know, my rising sun, I've been tracking the ship as it crosses the ocean. I'm serious. I'm serious about this. It hit Savannah, Georgia, like yesterday, and it was unloaded.
The sun.
Yeah. Now, they're getting all copies over to Atlanta before they ship them out. So any day now I could get a shipping notice that Rising Sun is shipped.
I'm surprised you didn't list that as one of your biggies for 2018.
Nah, yeah. It's cool. It's just more work for me, cool. Dude.
It's cool.
It's really one of those games that I get that I won't get to play but once because nobody in the house will play it with me.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that's the tragedy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was so excited. A while back I mentioned that I was picking up Colonial Gothic. So excited to get it. And they're just PDFs, I get that, but still, I was so excited to get it, but I still haven't played it yet.
Yeah, I'm excited about that game.
That's a good looking
game. I'm gonna be in a lot of Romo games this year.
I know. You know what? Let's do this. I want to, we famously make the turn, TR, and you've listened to enough episodes that you know this. The beginning of the year is resolution time, right?
Yes.
I mean, everybody's famous for setting up resolutions. Well, not everybody. You set up resolutions, and then 3 days later, you break it, right? You know, my resolution, no more Mexican food. The next day, I had tacos, right?
It's Tuesday.
And it's Taco Tuesday.
It's Taco Tuesday.
What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I can't buck that trend. But what's kind of cool is for this year, for 2018, and this is kind of where we look at like our third kind of personal thing that we're looking for in the year. And TR, we talked a little pre-show stuff, you brought up a great verse, and that's Proverbs 16:9.
I'm going to hit you with a little Bible verse here, kids, so wrap your ears around this.
The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And it's a phrase, and you know, we can kind of talk a little bit about how that verse hits us personally, but for me, it speaks towards setting up plans, but then following it through with wisdom, right? But also making sure you can maintain forward motion. And that's kind of my personal theme for this year, is maintaining forward motion. You know, I've been dealing with anxiety. I had a separate little video that I put up on YouTube about, you know, some of the anxieties I've been dealing with lately. And it's something that can be all consuming. And I'm sure there's a bunch of us out there, you know, present company included, that deals with anxiety. And it can just rule your world. It rules your universe.
Yes,
it does. And it puts you, it paralyzes you. And what I want to do is I've been, even from the smallest decisions to the largest, I've been saying that once I make a decision, I make it out of a source of wisdom, which means I pray about it, I think about it, I talk with people who are wiser than me, which is pretty much everybody. And then I step forward, you know, and that's what it means to step out in faith. A lot of people think that, you know, jumping out in faith is kind of a blind man's way of moving, or a blind person's way of moving. And it's not. Christianity, in my head, is a thinking person's faith. You approach the world from a position of wisdom because you've been provided wisdom by the creator of the universe. And for me, you know, if to keep it game related, one thing that I've wanted to do is I've wanted to put together an actual play that that provides a safe place for people to wrap their ears around. There's so many actual plays that are out there that tell fantastic stories and everything, but you know. And again, personal preference, every other word is the F-bomb. And eventually they go blue and they stay blue and they go deeper blue. And it's hard for me to, in good conscience, recommend some of these things, even though I think they have a fantastic narrative, you know, a fantastic story to tell. They have good acting. They have fantastic production quality. But I can't, in good conscience, recommend it, especially when I think, well, maybe some kids might be listening to this. So I thought, you know what, I'd like to put something together that I'm passionate about, that my players are going to enjoy, that comes out into the podcast, but we keep it clean. And so, you know, one of my things for 2018, my goal is to put out, you know, for En-ROADS and for the larger public, a podcast based in a game called Stars Without Numbers, which is basically a very simplified version of Traveller that uses some old school gaming rules, along with a lot of narrative flair. And it's set in the far future, outer space. And I've got a couple people that are, I stepped out in faith based on some knowledge that I gathered from the cloud and other people who've done podcasting, TR, you included, that gave me some wisdom. I've already picked up a couple folks. One is he's an improv person, and then another one actually has done some music in the past. So I've got a musician. So it'd be kind of cool to have some music that we don't have to pay royalties for. So, you know, the beginnings are there. And again, it's following in that theory that I want to step forward from a place of wisdom, step forward in faith, and continue forward motion. So that's kind of my personal goal for 2018.
Well, on a note for that, Jeff, you know, I posted a picture of my daughter as a DM in training.
So good.
Yeah.
So awesome.
And so, you know, my feedback to her was, you need to, after you go over your source material again, you need to listen to other DMs. You need to spend time watching them. And the first thing I was like, well, maybe I need to introduce her to, say, Critical Role. No, I watched one episode of Critical Role. I said, nope, I'm going to send her a link to Mr. Jeff Romo with the Inroads podcast. And I did. I sent it to her. I don't know if she's watched it yet. But yeah, there's not enough clean material out there.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it there.
No, and I agree. And again, it's not a knock against the creativity of people out there. There's some, like Critical Role is a great example of an excessive, an absorbent amount of talent in one room playing a game that we all love. But it's just, you know, it's unfortunate. I mean, it would be really nice to be able to have it appeal to all generations. At the same time, it's an adult game. I get it. They're not mealy-mouthed about the fact that it's an adult game, but at the same time, you've got such a widespread popularity. You're responsible for kind of part of this rising crest of popularity for D&D. There's maybe a little responsibility there. But, I mean, again, that's my opinion, my personal opinion. It may, right or wrong or indifferent, that's kind of what drives me. What do you think, TR? What's your thoughts on the topic?
Well, for me, every year on my blog, I use the word resolution because people call them resolutions. But like you, and it's been interesting to look back at ones I've written and look at the one I wrote this year. Yeah. They're becoming much more life goals. They're not just about the freelance work I do. They're not these like bullet points of I'm going to do this, this, and this, which is what the first year or so of it was. This year for me, where you're wanting to keep moving forward, I want to become more creative. I've been doing a lot support. For those who know me or follow me in other ways on my blog or in Twitter or anything, know in real life, I work in IT. I work in higher ed. I have a heart for service. I love helping other people succeed. Well, that goes right into my freelancing. I'm an editor and a proofreader. My dream, my goal, I love helping people produce better things. I love making a board game better, a role-playing game better. I like helping faculty make their classes better. I like students making their projects better. So a lot of my stuff is very support oriented. It's very help others. And I really wanted to push myself this year to make that next step and go back to being more creative. And that's an interesting thing. God gives us different talents. God gives us different skills. And if we don't use gifts he's given us, we're forgetting part of who we are and what he's challenged us to do. And so for me, kind of a goal as I look at this idea of goals and thinking what I'm going to plan and then just see where God leads is stepping out of my comfort zone again, trying to get back into some of my art. The miniature painting is like part of this that I got into. Part of it's going to be I want to get into writing. I've got some ideas of things I want to write. And it's with my kids are off in college now. I have daughters in college. I have twin daughters. I'm home a lot more with my wife. For those who don't know well, you'll hear a lot about me over the next couple podcasts as I'm here. My wife has multiple sclerosis. I'm her caregiver, which means I spend more time at home than out of the house. And so I'm looking for ways to take the gifts and talents God's given me, the interests, the passions, and say, how can I create and leave a lasting impression along with helping other people create? And so that's weird to think that way, is to look at it as it's a plan, it's a goal, as a resolution, as people say. But I didn't set things that I couldn't accomplish. I didn't say, I will publish a book by this day. I will do NaNoWriMo, or I will publish my first role-playing game. I just said I wanted to be creative and leave that in God's hands to see where I go.
And you're taking it at the root of being resolute about
a goal,
resolute about a direction. Which I think a lot of times me personally, I fail in my resolutions because I set a goal that I think is great and fantastic, but you know, whether it's anxiety or fear or whatever, I get into analysis paralysis and I never follow through with it. But having that resolute frame of mind is good. It's a good thing.
And I think a good thing about this, and people don't always do resolutions well, is that accountability side. Mm-hmm. By putting it in my blog, people have read it. By telling my wife and my kids, by telling you, by now telling everybody who listens to this podcast, which is nerve-wracking. But the idea is, by telling people a goal you have in life and tell them you want them to challenge you on that goal, it's like, Daniel, you mentioned a little earlier, you're on the Dave Ramsey. We need to help you do that. That's your goal. So we'll try not to keep tempting you with Kickstarters.
It's
but
fine.
The idea is, but we should pray for you. We should challenge you. We should ask you Because part of that accountability is just the question of, hey, Jeff, how are you moving forward? Hey, Daniel, right. How are you handling your Dave Ramsey? And for me, it's like, hey, TR, how have you been creative recently? You know, what have you done that was mm-hmm. creative? Like, Daniel, you challenged me on my minis and you keep asking me, what am I doing? How am I, you know, what new challenge have I given myself? I think that's, as we look at this idea of how the Lord establishes our steps, I think part of that is our brotherhood and sisterhood in Christ working with each other and, you know, the iron sharpening iron concept.
Yeah. No, it's good. That's really good.
How about you, Daniel? What are you thinking?
Well, I have a few different goals for the year. One, you know, we do a life verse for the year in my small group, and mine pretty much boils down to trust. I got to learn to trust God more. That's my spiritual one. And I do have a financial one, which is, of course, getting to the next through the next baby step of Dave Ramsey. And once we get to that point, we'll have everything but our house paid off. Wow. Hopefully, if everything goes right, August, if, you know, one of us gets another job, or, you know, if not, end of the year. So, and that's student loans mainly, stuff like that. The other one is, I've got to figure out, and this is kind of something I need prayer for as well. You know, my type of work that I do is I'm an IT contractor. So, as this contract's dwindling down, I need to step into my next contract or figure out what I need to be doing. So, you know, I'm trying to decide whether I want to go through and get like a certification, go through things like that to you know, change my career path a little bit instead of being a contractor all the time. Or, you know, I'm stuck because I don't know what I want to do. That's where my prayer is. I don't know what I want to do. You know, some days I want to teach. Some days I want to program. Some days I want to stay home and paint miniatures.
Every day?
Yeah.
But, for me, if that was my thing, that'd be my every day. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, I just need direction. But that's my goal for the year, is to get that direction and make it happen.
And, I mean, it sounds like the trust thing, trusting in the Lord and trusting in God's plan is kind of part and parcel with that, right? Of trying to figure out what it is that you want.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, asking him what it is that you want to direct me towards, and then...
Yeah, it's not what I want. You know, it always boils down to what God wants me to do, and that's how it's always been. Like, my current contract, I didn't apply for this. They called me and said, hey, we have a job offer. Somebody gave us your name. I was like, okay. I'll take it. And so, you know, that's just when it's always kind of happened. Either a job has showed up for me and I've applied for it, or somebody just calls me out of the blue and say, hey, you want to do this? And so that's what I've got to, you know, that always happens, but yeah, I still have trust issues. So that's my thing.
Well, and it's always hard when you're trusting in the unknown mm-hmm. that's coming up. You right. trust God, you trust him, you trust your family, you trust the gifts you've been given. But when there's that unknown coming, especially when it has to do with employment, when it has to do with finances, it's always a challenge to be, your goal in life is to trust God more. I mean, that's a right. that's a pretty hefty and challenging goal.
That's yeah. a challenge. Yeah, 100%. There's a part of me that I think the challenge that I have to kind of, you know, step forward and to keep moving forward is to trust in the Lord to encourage me or to smack me back. Right. You know, but my problem in it, and I think maybe it's something I share with you, Daniel, is the decision point.
Yeah.
Is making that decision and then saying, you know what, I'm going to commit to the first step and then the second step and then the third step. And I need to, like you said, trust that the Lord is going to say, yeah, Jeff, this is not a good idea. You know, my computer, you know, I'm trying to do an actual play. My computer crashes. Okay, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Or do you want me to get new equipment, Lord? I just don't know. You know, it's those things about, you know, praying, waiting for an answer, being patient, trusting in it. It's making those plans, you know, again, back to the verse, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes the steps.
And that could very well mean, in that verse, that could very well mean that he turns you aside from it.
Yeah.
And gives you a call out of the blue saying, hey, we heard about you. We want you for our company. Right? So, you know, it's... God, it seems that we have kind of like a... we have a bit of a shared interest there, my friend.
Yeah.
It seems that way. That's, yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
So. It's tough to trust. It's
now, gaming goals this year, you know, I got to play every game in my collection. I do want to...
That's a tall order, my friend.
And I do have a teaching heart. That's something that's always been ingrained in me. Whenever we, like, when I'm asked to preach, it really bothers me because I don't like preaching, but I like teaching. So I'll sit people down in a Bible study and do things like that. But, you know, it's hard for me to get up there and just dictate, you know, what the Lord's telling me to do. But yet, so, like with TR, I enjoyed when TR said, hey, I'm going to start painting miniatures. What should I do? And as TR will tell you, he was flooded with information. I called him while he was standing in Hobby Lobby going, stand at this paint rack. You'll see these colors. Here, get this color, this color, this color, this color, this color. Walk over here. Get these brushes. Buy this cement. Get this here. Go to Walmart.
I felt quite like the deer in the headlights.
Yeah. And it's because it's what I like to do. You know, yeah, I like to teach, and I like to teach things I'm interested in.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, to teach on something you're passionate about, and that's for sure.
Well, I think that's, when we go back to that verse, you know, we talk about the heart of man planning his way. I think part of how we plan our way is we look at those. What are our talents? What are we passionate about? What has God put on our heart? What do we hear someone needs? Like, Jeff, you're seeing this need for a cleaner, you know, live play. You know, when you see these needs, that's where we make our plans. And that actually makes the Lord's steps seem easier. It's when we make these random resolutions, like you said, you know, I'm not going to eat Mexican. I'm only going to sing songs that are Irish on Wednesdays. But the idea is, when you make these just arbitrarily resolutions that don't have a greater purpose, I think that's where we get the challenge, because then we're just like, yeah, it's a goal, it's a resolution, I'll just hit that. When there's this arch that has a greater purpose, and you're going, like you said, continually moving forward, even if we never quite hit some bullet point, if we made our progress, we've gotten better. And to me, that's the cool thing about this, is as long as we're following in the Lord's steps and keep planning goals that keep following those steps, it just keeps moving along. Like this conversation. I'm still amazed that I'm still talking.
You're doing great, buddy. Yeah. You're doing great. We're going to have to make this a regular thing.
Yeah.
Looks like you're going to have to show up next time.
Oh, man. I may have to show up next time.
I think you're going to have to.
Same bat channel. Yeah. Same bat time.
I agree. Well, come to that time where I need to make a decision. You know, this is usually Perna's decision, right? You know, he says, yeah, we're done. Shut up, Jeff. You're done. And I don't know. I don't know. Do I feel like I'm done? What do you guys think? You guys think we feel like we're done?
You know, I think that one of the things that we need to remember, that God is the game master, and no matter how the dice fall, the game must go on.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you end it right there. They thought I was going to make a point. Boom.